Just for those of you that don't know who we are, we're the UK's digital body for tertiary education and research, and that piece in green at the bottom. Our vision is to make the UK the world leader in the use of technology in this space, and arguably we are there or thereabouts already. And I need to work out which button to press to move on. There we go. I mean, just well, we're funded by all the four UK governments to do this, and we provide a wide range of services. One of which is thought leadership in the use of technology in education. And as part of this, when COVID hit, we did a couple of collaborative exercises with the sector, very broadly. We were trying to get as much of the sector together to try and look at how do we learn from these lessons. They're very much building on what the minister has been saying. And we did a similar exercise in further education as well with the AOC that came up with very similar responses. I'd say the digital poverty is more exacerbated in further education, but still very real. What I'm going to do now is to take you a really sort of canter through what we found, and I would point you at these reports if for you and your teams to delve into. In terms of the scope, we very much looked at how do we help the sector deal with the current year, and then very much sort of helping the sector think about that build back better. I think universally we were hearing senior leaders say they wanted to build on this, and as the minister has pointed out, so we've looked at how do we advise the sector to really make sure that the next year is the first of the transition, as it were. We also thought it was important to frame it within a strategic context. So there was work already going on for a vision for 2030. So we've brought that in, so there was a coherent program. And then beyond of that, 2 or 3 years ago, we set out our Education 4 vision, which is the longer term future of the impact of the fourth industrial revolution on the way that we teach and that transformation. So put all that together and we have a coherent picture in which to set the strategy for our institutions. Don't expect you to read all this. I'll very quickly go through this. So these are some of the messages that were coming out through the over 1,000 people that we talked to amongst the sector and the many webinars that we ran to get the seed corn for the recommendations. And the clear messages from students, from lecturers and senior leaders was, actually, there's something good in this online that we want to build on. And quite a difference between what was done in emergency way in March and what we're now seeing happening in institutions in the current academic year. There certainly were key messages coming out on digital poverty from across the piece, from students, from leaders and lecturers. But as I say, still a real view that online has real value, and we need to work out how to use it. Certainly some view that the technology in some spaces wasn't quite there in the way we want it to be, but not surprising given the very fast pace. And the last one is one that we really still, there's still real challenges on how the practical subjects and the creative arts really make use of online to create the transformation that we're seeing in other teaching. And we're still doing work here in that space. But just to delve in very slightly on this, so and there's all these results are on our website. Certainly clear view from lecturers that they can see the value, particularly in the pandemic, but going forward in how online can make a difference in the way that they teach in terms of the advantages. And the concerns, not surprisingly, are ones about interactivity and how disadvantaged students really take part in learning. In this way. I think this is really fascinating and a real testament to the work that's gone on in the sector. Pre-pandemic, almost 49% of our lecturers felt confident in this space. By the start of the year, 75% of our lecturers felt confident, partly through experience and partly through the work that the sector did to train them up and give them the better tools to do all this. So I think that's a great testament to the hard work that went on in the summer. In terms of learners, you can read this to say that students see online as great because they can finally achieve their dream sitting in their beds and getting their teaching. And certainly there's a lot of that going on there. But in terms of the things they were most worried about and felt most the online wasn't quite dealing with, again, not surprising, is just that lack of interactivity. And the isolation one is one we need to keep a very close eye on. Now, how much of these results are because of COVID and the restrictions on being able to meet combined with online teaching, and how much is a real factor of online, we don't know, but it is one we'll come back to post-COVID and really try and learn from. But certainly using technology to create interactivity for the generation of students we currently have is certainly a soluble problem. I wasn't going to play it now because it's a few minutes long, but we have a great clip from a Women's Hour program in February of this year, so pre-COVID, of two young women talking about friendship and how they will actually just open up FaceTime of an evening and have it open. And from them, that's meeting. And they'll go about their business, cooking, studying, whatever else it is, talking to each other very occasionally. But for them, that's meeting and that's interactivity. And I think it's really getting ourselves in the head of our young people to understand how we can use technology to address these issues. But ultimately, none of us are saying that face-to-face is dead. It's how we use the technology to enhance the campus experience. A whole set of challenges in terms of how we prepare for 21-22. Very clear view from all of our leaders that they do want to take advantage and build back better. And these are the challenges and the things we need to look at in terms of helping our universities really grab this and make it work for the coming year. And this is where our recommendations, where there's a summary of the recommendations that are in the report. And the clear number one is to do this in a strategic way for a top-down view on how digital is going to change every institution's view on the way that it teaches. And it has to be every institution's view. It's not a sector view. So every institution needs to develop its own strategy and way of digitally transforming to change the way that it teaches and learns for the next year. I think there's a challenge for the sector in how we get together and collaborate to create materials to help this. Certainly a JISC view is that we don't want to see 150 different ways of explaining the same thing, because this is expensive to do, online teaching. In some sectors, online looks to be cheaper. It's not in teaching. The metric that was used in FE is it takes 10 hours of lecturers' time to create 1 hour of teaching. As we look to the new technologies, we will see an awful lot more than that. Things like virtual reality is a really expensive thing to start with. And actually, we'd like to see the sector working together on that. We also believe it's not right to just take face-to-face and automate it, as it were. And we think universities need to sit back and look at their curriculum and design them for the future and use students to help do that. And the last point is all of us need to get together and look at how we fight the digital poverty and data poverty issues. When we look at 2030, this was the vision the sector gave us. The UK wants to be world-class in this space, and I think we all believe that it really needs to be if we continue to be competitive, and it's great that that's the desire out of the sector. When we looked at, we're looking at an interesting transition. So if this is the spectrum at a high level of the type of teaching there can be, on the left, we have face-to-face, which is where we were pretty much pre-pandemic. And we're in that pink box at the moment. The sort of teaching that's going on at the moment is very much lecturer-led push out to students. What we're expecting to see over the next 10 years is a transition to much more pull from students, students in charge of their own learning, with technology gradually supporting them much more, more in that. So by 2030, they're doing their own learning with lecturers supporting them and sort of challenging them to ensure they have all the right sort of skills. And of course, the Blue Box full online, there's great examples today with Open University and quite a lot of online courses that are fully online. That's really in parallel. We believe the mainstream campus-based model will be that purple student-led learning. These are the principles that we think universities need to get underneath in terms of their vision to get to 2030. I'm not going to go through them. They're in the report that's on our website, and I'll encourage you to look at them there. But a whole range of things that our sector needs to get underneath and really understand what it means for them. If we look beyond this, this is, say, our Education 4 vision. And the key thing here is we do believe technologies around the fourth industrial revolution technologies can actually transform the way that we teach, because it can transform the way that students learn. And we believe that artificial intelligence is the key to doing this, along with things like virtual reality and analytics. But underlying this, we believe that artificial intelligence can really transform over the next 10 to 15 years, the learning experience. And ultimately, sometime in the future, I believe my great-grandchildren will almost be assigned an artificial intelligence tutor that sees them through their lifelong learning, that really gets to know them and understands them and helps them through their learning journeys and gives them the materials in ways that are appropriate to them and fit their own personality and learning preferences. And if we get all this right, we can actually rethink completely the way we assess students' capabilities and get away from high stakes exams into really just credentialing them when they're capable, as opposed to at a particular time frame. And of course, all of this gives us the opportunity to rethink how we use our campuses. The other piece we always come back to as well when we talk about the future is to remind people that the world of work is changing. The world of people's careers are changing dramatically over coming years. And universities need to rethink not just the way they teach, but what they teach. And we need to ensure that we teach our students for the future and give them those soft skills rather than particular professional skills that may well be out of date. So helping a lawyer sort of remember the law, helping an accountant know how to put accounts together, or a doctor even how to diagnose, are all skills for today, not skills for tomorrow, because technology is going to be better at that than people. And we need to give our students the capability to understand how to reinvent themselves, how to be take part in lifelong learning, but most importantly, those critical skills and those human-to-human skills that are our future. Now, we do believe that the key need for the UK is to really get underneath artificial intelligence in the use of teaching and be a leader in this. Today, China is the leader in use of artificial intelligence in teaching. If UK wants to be world leader, and if we want to be in charge of our own way of teaching, we believe the UK does need to reinvest in the use of artificial intelligence, certainly in tertiary space. And Minister, you may be aware, but we actually submitted a comprehensive spending review request for funding to create this centre into the DfE, both for FE and HE. But certainly we believe something like this is essential if the UK wants to stay a leader in the use of teaching, in teaching and higher education. And I will end there. Thank you.